just got dyslexia, okay?
Dishonor on you! Dishonor on your cow!
Welcome, foolish mortals.
It is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight.
The reference here is very obscure.
Welcome to the obscure world of Disney. You're listening to the Obscure Disney Podcast.
It's our belief that no detail is too small, no character cameo too short, and no quirk too strange to be celebrated.
And with new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday, why not get an annual pass wherever you get your podcast from, or find us at obscuredisneypodcast.com.
And see all of our fun patches at disneypatch.com. Steve, who would you say is the most fabulous character in literature?
In literature? Moby Dick. That's a thing.
Yeah, that's a big one.
I don't know, the Bible?
Literally. A character. The Bible's not a character.
Then I'm sticking with Moby Dick.
Okay. Well, according to the show we just watched, the narrator would choose a toad, namely Thaddeus J. Toad.
Thaddeus J. Toad?
Yeah.
How did I not guess that one?
Well, you weren't paying attention at the beginning, so...
I do have to say, so we're going back. We skipped over to our movie marathon.
Yes.
We went to Cinderella, but right before that one was the movie of...
The Adventures of Mr. Toad and Ichabod Crane.
There you go. So we decided to go back and watch that one so we can kind of round out the series properly.
So we've seen all of them is the idea,
basically,
right?
There's three in the middle that we've seen two of the three, so we're going to put that together in an episode. But yeah, we thought that this would be a great one. I love the ride. The ride's amazing.
Who doesn't love Mr. Toad's Wild Ride?
Oh, I legitimately love that ride.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's a show that I kind of was expecting. You know, nowadays you almost have to kind of like start the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually the movie kind of gets going and then you sit down because you really don't need to watch the first few minutes. No, this one, it's a whippersnapper. It goes right through it.
Mr. Toad is very fast paced.
Like the whole first part of the show was in 36 minutes.
Right.
So. Well,
and this is like... This is rounding out the time period where Disney was releasing into theaters their clip shows. So
yeah.
They were kind of winding down with this concept. Now that the war is over,
right.
They're able to get back to regular kind of production. So this is the tail end of that sort of thing.
Yeah, it was literally the last one they did.
Well, see, there you go. So it's a... I think it's the best clip show, in my opinion.
Right.
Because you have... Instead of a bunch of little short stories, you have two medium-length stories that are told in the course.
Yeah, and you could have even stretched out Mr. Toad to be the full 1 hour feature.
And I originally thought that it's what they should have done. The Wind in the Willows, I've not read, but it's a fairly good, a well-known children's book, and I feel like it probably could have sustained a production on its own.
Okay.
There's enough going on there that they could have had fun with that and made it a full feature.
Yeah.
I think the restraints of labor and budget definitely caused issues with that going that far.
Yeah, and potentially even the moviegoer dollar. You know, maybe there wasn't enough money to go around for two shows as well.
It's definitely possible. And it's easy to draw people in and say, hey, you're getting two features for the price of one.
Right. And it reminded me a bit of people used to speak about that when people went to the movies, they didn't really have a designated time. They would just kind of go and sit down. The movie would run on loop.
Right.
And I was wondering, like, how I was thinking about how great this would be if that wasn't the case, if they just basically got the movie going and just kept running it, you know, because then no matter when you sat down the next it would almost be like it's built in double feature.
That's true, except you would walk in the middle of a film now and it would be like, what's going on?
Right, but then you just watch the other one and then watch the other one again.
Oh, that's true, but I'm not a fan, but I can see how it would work.
I think this is totally what you need to do for a Disney attraction at the parks. Just have like a double feature length like that, like have two 10-minute shows and just have them back to back where people just come in, sit down. Once you've seen the both, you move on.
They kind of do that with Disneyland on Main Street. They have that little theater where they show Mickey shorts.
Yeah.
So it's kind of that concept.
It is kind of that concept. I totally stole it from them.
Oh, well, see? Steal from the best. That's a good idea.
And then recommend it back to them as if it's a brand new idea.
Right. Well, anybody that's ridden Mr. Toad's Wild Ride probably has no idea what the movie's about, though.
Right.
Because the ride and the movie vary so much.
Yeah.
Like, you see things in the ride that are definitely in the movie, but then, in my opinion, the ride goes completely off the rails, no pun intended, at the end.
Yeah.
And it's like, what is this? Where did you guys pull this from?
And they just threw it in the ride?
Yeah. So, in the film, we're following the story of Thaddeus J. Toad, who is addicted to adrenaline. He likes adventure. He likes new things. He likes fads. He likes all that kind of stuff.
Truly.
And it's causing problems for his estate, basically.
Yeah.
He's getting into a lot of trouble. And to cap it all off, he gets convicted of stealing a motor car.
Yeah, which, I completely identify.
Do you?
No.
When was the last time you stole a car?
It's been days. Days.
And he ends up breaking out of prison.
Yeah.
Leading the police on a wild train chase. And then they have to break back into his old house to get the evidence to prove that he was wrongly convicted.
Oh, it was a glorious house, too.
It's very pretty.
All kinds of trapdoors and things that you love.
They even say in the movie that it's worth £100,000.
Could you imagine?
And that's back in the 40s. So it's a very expensive house.
Yeah, that's worth at least £120 now.
I don't know. Well, that's not offensive to the people across the pond.
I'm not sure how the exchange rate works, but
right. So, in general, though, that's the basic, like, the formatting of the story. And in the ride, you kind of go through the house a little bit, and you see, like, the weasels swinging on chandeliers, and you go through the bar, and the barman's name is Mr. Winky, and he's flipping cups and stuff.
Yeah.
And then you go to the courtroom, and they call you guilty, and then you escape and get hit by a train, and
all kinds of fun.
End up in the bad place.
Oh yeah, that is what happens on the ride.
It is what happens on the ride. You turn a corner and you're surrounded by fire, brimstone, and little devils jumping all over the place.
And not Kristen Bell's This Is the Bad Place.
No.
Not that one.
No. And so I remember as a kid, I had seen Mr. Toad, like the movie.
Okay.
And then I can't remember my reaction to riding the ride as a small child at all.
Really?
But I can remember it going back as more of an adult and riding it again and realizing what it was and thinking, wow, what this what
kind of show is this?
This legitimately has nothing to do with the movie at all. But I think what's really interesting is the deeper kind of stuff that they try to put into this.
Yeah, you did have some thoughts.
Well, yeah. Like, obviously, I think it's a discussion on addiction and working on those sort of things. But in the beginning, they talk about how Mr. Toad really has three real friends who have his best interests at heart.
Yeah.
The badger, the rat, and the mole are his quote-unquote real friends. Mm-hmm. But then you have his other friends who, I guess for lack of a better word, you'd call them enablers.
Yeah.
People that push him to do crazy things, people that help him do crazy things, and seem to not have any care for the effect that it's having on him.
Right.
And I think that's
friends like that.
Right. It's an interesting thing to put into a movie, especially a Disney movie with animal characters, that the moral is kind of know who your real friends are.
Right.
See who are the people that are sticking with you and have your best interests at heart, and make an effort to follow what they're asking you to do.
Yeah, because they totally save him in the end, right?
Well, they do, but then they have that little coda moment where it turns out he's back with his old friends flying an airplane, you know.
Oh, that's right.
And it's very disappointing. Poor Toad.
He'll never learn.
He'll never learn. But what I think is interesting is the whole movie kind of focuses around the deed to Toad Hall.
Right.
Right, which is his house.
Incredibly important.
And very important part of the movie.
And in real life.
Know where your deed is, folks. Well, true. Yeah, there you go. But in Florida, they had to remove the Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Oh, really?
And
they had one?
They did. And okay. They put Winnie the Pooh in there.
Oh.
You know my feelings about Winnie the Pooh taking over things.
Generally speaking, he seems to always be taking over something.
He is. Why is Pooh buying up all the real estate?
Right. Apparently, he got the deed to Mr. Toad's house.
Well, that's the fun thing is when you're riding through Winnie the Pooh in Florida.
Uh-huh.
When you go into one of the rooms, if you look to the left, you can see the picture of Mr. Toad handing the deed over to Owl.
Oh, really?
So, basically, Mr. Toad, once again, has given away Toad Hall to somebody.
Oh, my goodness.
It seems, you know...
Winnie the Pooh.
It makes total sense, because that's what... He basically sold his house for a motor car in this movie. $100,000 house for a motor car.
For a motor car. I do love his little red motor car, though. They're so fancy.
It's so cute. And those are the ride vehicles too when you go to ride
and Mr. that's the real reason ride. I like it
that yeah because you like the
I
ride.
Love the ride video yeah that and the fiber optic floor that it has in there and everything
when you come that's out of the so fireplace great. So
who doesn't want that?
Overall, I think Mr. Toad is very interesting and it moves at a really quick pace.
Completely,
but it's also
right.
extremely complex, and I think kids can pick up on things. If you let your kids watch this, I feel like they could pick up on things and understand it better than you think they can.
Yeah.
But it's very complex and honestly kind of adult. Like, it's all about real estate and law.
I know. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, I got to go back and watch all 36 minutes of this all over again.
It's your number one new favorite Disney movie.
Totally. And it goes by in 36 minutes, because this is my complaint about a lot of movies nowadays is that they take so long that they, you know, that they go on. I remember back when shows were like an hour and 45 minutes flat, you know?
Sure.
And then they got to two if it was a good movie, and now they're at three.
Yeah, it used to be unthinkable. I remember when Titanic came out, and everybody was like, this movie is way too long. It's so long. And now that's like almost par for the course, you know?
It is. Well, and I mean, the theater is much cozier than they used to be right now.
Oh, that's true. The seats are nicer.
They are, yeah.
But in general, I feel like it's a quick watch.
Yeah,
it's very memorable. It's got that fun little "We're merrily, 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 merrily on our way."
Yeah.
That song, super fun song. I don't know the words to it because they speak in an accent and speak really fast.
Right.
So I'm not 100% of the words.
Yeah.
But it's a fun little song and totally worth a watch, I think.
Completely true. And then Ichabod, nothing to say really about that poor guy.
Oh, no. Well, the first fun fact about it is that it's Bing Crosby, who is a very famous crooner from the time period.
Completely right.
You may know him from like White Christmas is the movie that I know him the most from.
Yeah.
Old Blue Eyes. And they got him to basically, it's almost like him telling the folk tale the whole time, and then they've thrown in a couple songs for him to sing while doing so.
And did it open? It did open that with Mr. Toad, right? That the beginning of the show with Bing Crosby too?
No, so it's a different narrator in
Mr.
Toad.
Well, that's too bad. That would have been great.
Well, I think the idea is that they have a person from a European background telling one of their folk tales, and then we move to America, and we have an American doing one of our folk tales.
That's deep. Good for them.
Okay.
And uniting us through Disney films.
Right. Educating and uniting.
Right.
So, good old Bing. He tells us the story about Ichabod Crane, which is better known as the Headless Horseman, right?
Okay, yeah.
Would you know? Did you not put the two and two together?
I did not. I knew that he shows up at the end.
He does.
And I know that I've seen him at California Adventure.
Yes.
Super like, cool.
During the Halloween parties, have him at the beginning of the parade.
I had no idea he had two names.
Yeah.
I had no idea. That's what we were getting ready to watch.
Well, it's not the same person.
I'm so confused.
Okay, so we're going to go over it for you at home and for Steve here.
Please update me on completely on what we just saw.
So the story focuses around Ichabod Crane, who is a new school teacher in Sleepy Hollow, which is the area, right? And he's very odd and lanky and sticks out to the people in town. They've never seen someone quite like him. And he's also very greedy and self-serving. So apparently he eats a lot for someone so skinny. Like, the whole first part of the short is about him getting food from people.
Again, I identify well.
Yes. And then this new girl moves into town, this really pretty girl whose father has lots of land, has huge tracts of land, and he decides that he's in love with her partially because she's pretty, but mostly because he can get rich off of marrying her. So that's Ichabod, and this that girl
is Ichabod.
You're right. Ick. And then her name is Catherine, I believe it is. Katrina. I can't remember now. We literally just watched it and I forgot her name. She's not that important. And then you have the Gaston, basically, of the town.
That's exactly the vibe I was getting to, right?
Yeah.
Totally Gaston.
The big brawny guy who likes to pull pranks on people and is also in competition for this new girl.
Right.
And so they have a little bit of back and forth where they kind of, they make the effort to try to woo this woman. And she kind of stirs the pot.
Mm-hmm.
She likes the competition. She likes the idea of people fighting over her. So she is more than happy to make the other one think that she's into the other one, or, you know, it turns into that.
Yeah.
So basically, in my opinion, you have three very flawed characters in this little love triangle.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, so, all of them are bad people.
Yeah, you have Ichabod.
You're not voting for none of them.
This woman and this big brawny guy. So the show kind of, it's not scary at all at the beginning, right? Like,
right.
It's just their town life, basically.
Yeah.
And he's then
just teaching him to sing.
Right. And then she has like a fall dance party.
Yeah.
Where they invite people out to her family farm and they have a party. And at the end of the party, the guy, her father, likes to hear ghost stories at the end of the night.
Mm-hmm.
And so, having noticed that Ichabod Crane is very superstitious, the Gaston, I think his name is Braun or something like that. I don't remember
like
what
it is. Paper towel?
Yeah, like Brawny. That's what he looks like, too, is the Brawny paper towel guy.
Legit.
He tells the story of the Headless Horseman, who stalks the town on Halloween night, and the only way to escape him is to get across the covered bridge.
Right.
And that's where his power ends, is the basic conceit, right?
Got it, yeah.
And then they have this really built-up, suspenseful scene with no music, just all sound effect and the sound of the horse hooves, you know? It's very suspenseful build-up while he's trying to get to the bridge.
Right.
And there's nothing there for a long time, so you do go through a lot of fake-outs until finally the Headless Horseman shows up and they do the whole madcap chase through the woods.
Madcap chase.
It's a very high-octane ending to something that's been very mellow up to that point.
Yeah, came from nowhere.
So, it's never expressly said whether the Headless Horseman is the Gaston guy in costume, although it's implied it's a real specter. It's like a real ghost.
Yeah.
And it's also never explicitly told whether or not Ichabod gets away.
Right.
All they find of him is his hat and a broken pumpkin at the end of the thing. So
do get him.
It's possible. They say there's a rumor that he's run off and married somewhere else, but the people in town assume that he got gotten
and he
by
never makes it home.
The Headless Horseman. There's no sign of him after that. Mm. Yeah.
I blame the girl.
It's always the girl's fault, huh?
She was the one in the costume the whole time.
Oh my gosh. Wouldn't that a twist?
A twist the whole time.
Night Shyamalan in this thing. it's a very basic, straightforward kind of folk tale.
It was fun though.
It's a good time.
And it was simple animation, I thought. Do you think this animation is quite a bit more simple than like Cinderella and some of the other things that we've seen, or does it?
Well, with the fact that Cinderella came out right after this, right? Uh-huh. That's the next one. I can see a lot of Cinderella's animation style in The Girl.
Right.
You can kind of see that they were working on making their characters move slightly more realistically. This was really cartoony still.
Yeah.
But they tried to make, like her especially, she didn't move crazy. They tried to make her as dainty and as real, quote unquote, as possible, I think. So I think what you're seeing here is kind of the artist warming up to doing more realistic people.
Yeah.
Because even up to this point, all of their human characters have still been very stylized, right?
Right.
You think about the characters in, like, Pinocchio. Those characters are extremely stylized and don't look like real people, right, quote unquote, you know?
Especially with a girl on this one, though, I felt a little bit of, like, affordability in the animation.
Mm.
A little bit. Like, it can't, not quite. They didn't spend quite as much time and money developing her,
sure,
as you do with, like, Cinderella, because Cinderella is so pretty.
Right. And they didn't have the time either, you know, with the idea that this was a shorter film. They probably didn't have that many animators on it.
Yeah, and this was actually supposed to be part of, like, a three-part series or something, you said, right?
Well, it's really cool about it. Those of you that listen to the podcast pretty often, this was originally going to be paired with Mickey and the Beanstalk, which we haven't spoken about yet, I don't think.
No.
And it was also going to be paired with The Gremlins, which was the movie that Roald Dahl was working on with Disney.
I do remember that, yeah. And they were going to pair all four together in the show?
Just the three. So it was Mickey and the Beanstalk, The Gremlins, and it was going to be Mr. Toad in conjunction with this. Yeah. And then Ichabod Crane was going to be in conjunction with another select group of films. I think they're going to do a Pecos Bill one or something.
I see.
So American folktale type thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's still in a time when the studio is still trying things out and shuffling things around and trying to be profitable.
Yeah.
You know, but that's, we know from our review of Cinderella.
Right.
They were in dire straits by the time they got to Cinderella.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's true.
This obviously didn't do a whole lot for them, although it's still a really fun watch, in my opinion.
Yeah, and it made $1.6 million, so who knows? I don't know. Maybe that was good.
It made $1.6
million? Mm-hmm.
Oh, good for them.
And that was only basically off U.S. and Canadian distribution, because they didn't have distribution yet.
It's true. They couldn't get over to Europe just yet. Yeah. Huh? Well, and those people, you know, they just went through war. They're not going to be watching.
Hey, let's find out through an animation.
Right.
Glad that war's over. Let's get back to the movies.
It was dragging on, wasn't it? Oh, let's move on. Overall, though, super fun to watch. If you've got kids that need to be entertained for a minute, this is entertaining enough, I think, to keep their attention.
Right.
And as an adult, you can watch it without hating that you have to watch it, I think.
Yeah, because it's fast.
It is quick, and it's very entertaining, in my opinion.
Yeah. And protect your deed.
What?
Protect your deed.
Oh, your deed. Yes. It's like, what are you talking about? But it's like I always say, you can't reason with a headless man. Follow my perfectly sculpted two-finger point to the exit.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, rate, review us on your favorite podcast app. And if you didn't, help us do better by buying a patch at DisneyPatch.com.
Always be proud of what makes you unique. And we'll see you next time on the Obscure Disney Podcast.